Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Department of Ominous Omens here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, we are. Once again, our friends at the Washington Post Style Invitational have hit the nail on the head. This time they asked their readers for, get this, sure signs that it's time for a new car.
They interview you?
It's never time for a new car for me. But here are some other people's responses. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
It might be time for a new car if your current one is worth less than the bribe you have to pay to get the inspection sticker. That's from Chris Doyle.
Oh, it's good.
Here's another one from Ira Allen. It might be time for a new car if it is your father's Oldsmobile. It might be time for a new car, say, Jim McClellan and Russ Taylor, if your mechanic has to use his connections in Havana to get parts.
That's sad. That is sad.
It might be time for a new car if the panhandlers at red lights slip dollar bills in your window. It's from Tom Murphy.
Yeah, I guess the cash is supposed to flow in the other direction.
The other direction. Yeah. Okay, and here's the last one. Barbara Turner says, it might be time for a new car if the OnStar lady keeps directing you toward a ravine.
Well, they missed an opportunity to say it might be time for a new car if you've called Car Talk 3 weeks in a row. Anyway, if you've got some other sure signs that it's time for a new car, share them with us at cartalk.com. In the meantime, if you still need your old car, we're going to try to help you out. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Henry calling from Albany, California. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Henry.
Henry, what's going on, man?
Did you say Albany?
Yeah, Albany.
Is that like Albany?
It's the city in the Bay Area across the bay from San Francisco.
But it's spelled like Albany, New York.
Oh, yes, it is.
But it's pronounced Albany.
Yeah, it's Albany.
Albany.
Well, how come the people in New York pronounce it Albany?
Well, we're in California. We're always right.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
There you go. That straightened me out.
So what's going on, Henry?
Well, I'm calling because I have a 2000 Camry. The only one thing that's wrong with it is that every morning when I cold start the car, I get this black plume of smoke that comes out of my exhaust, and it only lasts about 30 to 45 seconds. And it's been going on for probably 3 or 4 years, actually.
So you just get around to calling us now.
Well, the reason I'm calling you now is because recently I sort of gassed my neighbor, and she hasn't talked to me since.
Is she unconscious or what?
Well, she used to give me brownies and cookies and things. We used to have good conversations going to the cars. But last month we were going down to work, and I told her, have a great day. I get in my car, and she's loading her groceries into her car, whatever it is.
Oh, and you smoked her.
Exactly. In my rearview mirror, I could see this cloud of smoke just envelop her completely. Oh. And she's there gagging away and trying to wave the smoke out. And from that moment on, she's never talked to me ever since.
Is this smoke more likely gray than black?
It's a pretty dark gray.
Pretty dark gray.
Yeah.
Is the check engine light on?
No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah, and I've been getting normal oil changes, and I check my oil regularly. It's been years, but since it's never really been a problem for me, I just kind of left it.
How many miles a year do you drive this thing, typically?
10,000 to 12,000.
Huh.
Do they still do a smog test in California?
Yeah, they do. We do. I just had one done a few months ago, and it's
and
fine.
And you passed?
Yeah.
Well, I hate to disbelieve you, but I don't think what's coming out of the tailpipe is soot.
Okay.
But rather, you're burning oil. And that's really consistent. Lots of cars for those 30 seconds that you start them up in the morning will blow out a plume of very dark smoke.
Uh-huh.
But you claim that you've been checking the oil and you're never down anything?
No, never.
No, you don't have to be down because you're only burning a little bit of oil.
It's not enough. Yeah.
You're only burning 30 seconds worth of oil and you're burning it off the cylinder walls. And it goes away as soon as the engine warms up and the pistons expand. I think you're getting that little bit of oil burning, and that oil, if you think about it, might be have a little tinge of blue in it. And I know you're saying you're shaking.
Yeah, I only see it off out of the
you
rearview
only see
mirror
it through
of my
the
car.
Mirror. If someone else started your car and you stood there, mm-hmm. you'd get the full view of what
Yeah, listen, when they let the neighbor out of the hyperbaric chamber and she recovers and she's speaking to you again,
yeah.
then you
ask her to start the car.
Yeah, you can go ahead and she can start. Oh, you can ask her. So what was the last thing you remembered before the ambulance took you away? You know, so
and she'll say this blue-black stuff came into my mouth.
Every time I get back from work and she's in the parking lot, she try to fiddle around in her car, and I think she's taking fake phone calls and things, everything to keep from having to walk to the elevator with me and ride up with me.
Oh, so she's
so
avoiding
we'll see
you.
If I ever see her again.
Yeah, well, you may have to break the ice with some flowers or a gas mask. So you don't have to be burning any oil to speak mm-hmm. of to get this, you know, 30 seconds of smoke.
Okay, but so is this something that requires a mechanic to fix, or can I just leave it alone?
Well,
you're not going to fix that.
No, you're not going to fix that. You're just going to make sure that she's not around when you start the car up.
Oh, that's what I want to hear.
But you may want to take it someplace okay. and leave it overnight, because it's going to do this only when the engine is started cold.
Okay.
And you're going to have to leave it someplace and have them analyze it, and they'll say, oh, yeah, Henry, you're burning some oil.
Okay, sounds good. Well, as long as it's safe, I don't mind losing more neighbors.
All right. See you, Henry.
All right, love your show. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Evan. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
E-V-A-N?
E-V-Y-N.
Oh, E-V-Y-N.
So Y makes it girly.
Oh.
Does make it girly. Whose idea was this? Your mother's or your father's?
My mother, yeah. My mother.
Is she a wacko usually?
No, your name might have been Evelyn, huh?
No, never Evelyn. I don't think she likes that name.
She doesn't? Well, that's why she didn't give it to you.
I know that I'm named after my grandmother, Eva.
Eva.
So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And
why didn't they just name you Eva?
You know, I'll ask her.
Well, thanks for calling, Evan.
Anyway, what's going on?
So I drive a 1996 Nissan pickup, and it's a great little truck. I bought it in 2002 with 80,000 miles on it, and I've driven it all over the country and never had any trouble.
Huh.
And then recently, oh, I guess in January, the transmission and the clutch went at the same time.
Like,
it just died. And I was living in Chicago, and I needed to get back to Oregon, and so I just spent the money and fixed it. And now it doesn't feel like the gears are quite engaging. Probably for the first hour that I drive the car, it sort of feels like, I mean, it goes forward, but it sort of goes forward really slowly.
Oh, so you feel like something's holding you back.
Yes.
And if you were to take your foot off the gas in the mid-acceleration, so let's say you're accelerating from 0 to 20 miles an hour. And somewhere in the midst of that, you know, ordinarily you would do that, then you'd step on the clutch.
It rattles. The car just, like, starts to shake.
It rattles. Okay. But,
yeah.
But if you were to take your foot off the gas when it's doing this rattling, would the car slow down considerably, or would it just slow down at a normal rate like you it would when
it
you were coasting?
It slows down at a normal rate.
Okay. All right. Because for a while I figured that even though we just met, I thought that
it was your fault. Tell her the truth.
Well, I did. No. I assumed that it was your fault. I assumed that you had left the emergency brake on, or that it was sticking.
No, I've totally done that before, but that's not it.
And you know what that feels like? And that feels like you have no power.
Yeah.
It feels like as soon as you take your foot off the gas, someone's pulling your rear bumper off.
Yeah, no, that's a different feeling than this.
She knows that.
So this is shaking and rattling.
Yes.
Okay.
And then what?
Then what happens, yeah.
Then usually if I put it into, like, second gear or third gear, it will do the same thing, feel tight for maybe, like, 30 seconds. And then it feels like it jerks forward into the gear, and then it's fine.
So it almost seems like the gear is not working.
Yeah.
It sounds to us like the clutch is not working.
No, not to us. It sounds to this moron. It's to me. to me, it sounds like the engine isn't working correctly.
Oh, no.
Let me clarify one thing. When it's doing this, your foot is all the way off the clutch?
Absolutely.
When you come to a stop, do you feel that the engine runs very smoothly? Somewhat?
No, it started to idle really funny, and I keep feeling when I'm at stoplights,
uh-huh.
it's a bit neutral.
It's idling funny. Is it laughing when it's idling?
Yeah,
saying,
yes.
Evan, you're going to spend $2,500.
It absolutely is laughing at me.
So now, you're going to wait till later on in the call, or are you going to tell us now that the check engine light's been on for 3 months?
It has been on for 3 months.
It has. Well, there you go.
3 months. He hit it right on the money.
Well, the check engine light is telling you there's something wrong, and I guarantee you it's telling the computer to tell you that there's an engine misfire.
When it went on the first time, I was in Oklahoma City, and I had a guy check it out, and he said that it had to do with my oxygen sensor.
Well, there you go. Uh-huh. You could need an O2 sensor.
Okay.
And you've got to fix it, because in addition to polluting the air.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. So you're polluting the air, and you're also making the engine run inefficiently. You're burning more gas than you should, and you're running the risk of damaging the catalytic converter.
Okay.
So you've got to fix it.
All right.
All right.
I'll do that. I also, real quick, I have to tell you that my mom made me promise that I would let you guys know that she is from Wollaston, Massachusetts, and she's been listening to you since the first time you aired.
Has
wow,
she?
What a woman.
Jeez.
She actually suggested that I call you.
So and she, so we she must even be old, know where Wollaston is.
She must be older than Tommy, right?
No.
She's not.
Well, that's nice to hear. Thanks, Evan.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks
Good
to
luck.
Your mom. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Bruce in Danbury, Connecticut.
Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
What's shaking?
Well, here's what I got. I got an Acura SLX.
Yeah.
And I've had a problem that I'll bet you guys never heard of that's for years and years and years, and I refer to it as phantom tire pressure goblins that come in the night.
Oh.
Here's what happens. You go out to the car in the garage in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and you have a tire that's like, you know, a third, a quarter to a third flat.
Yeah.
Okay? And, oh, well, gee, I got a slow leak, blah, blah, blah. So you go, you fill it up, and it doesn't happen again. And maybe 3 months later, you go out to the garage, and the same tire, quarter to third to half.
Yeah.
What causes this mysterious...
The cat.
The cat.
The mysterious behavior of the cat. There are several things. Everyone, I believe, in the civilized world has experienced this very phenomenon.
Yes.
And the trouble is we don't have any real good data.
No.
Because it could well be a matter of perception. It could well be that when the tire has 30 pounds in it, it looks great. When it has 25 pounds in it, it looks great.
That's
when
right.
it has 20 pounds in it, it looks great. When it has 18 pounds in it, it looks great. But when it has 15 pounds in it, it looks like it's flat.
Right, so it's gradually losing the air.
And you don't notice it until it gets to 15, but it's been losing air every day.
Here's what you do, Bruce.
Yes.
Research!
You have a sleeping bag.
I do.
Here you go.
All right, here's what
you're
going to
camp out in the garage.
First of all, no matter what your wife says to you when you get home tonight,
pick a fight with her.
Pick a fight. Say, that's baloney.
That's easy.
And then you will. Then you go to do what my brother said. Get your sleeping bag.
And then you have to set the alarm clock to wake you up like every 2 hours.
Okay.
And you have to keep a log. You have to record the tire. Go and buy yourself a good tire pressure gauge and record the tire pressure. Mm.
Okay.
And I think you will find out, if you record the tire pressure at least every day, that my brother is right.
This is the third time you've said this today.
He couldn't possibly be right. You must have a nail in this tire.
And should I fax my results to you for your data?
No, you give us your home number. We'll call you every 2 hours. Make sure you're up.
Yeah, take the cell phone out in the garage with you.
And should I sleep with my ear, like, right next to the tire so
yeah.
I can hear it?
Oh, something's leaking. You can hear it. Exactly.
Oh.
But it's very possible you have a leak. I mean, I have seen cases where people have had pinholes in their tires, and depending upon how the thing was stopped, the thing will leak out, and it could leak 5 pounds in one night, depending upon what the orientation of the pinhole was.
Gotcha.
So you could lose, you could lose a half a pound one day, a half a pound another day, and then 5 pounds one night.
I mean, I just said that might be, I mean, because we don't have any, that might be, I mean, it might well be that you actually are doing something to make it lose air. For example, if you hit a curb once every 3 weeks, and it's possible to deform the tire enough to lose air from the tire.
Mm-hmm.
You actually can break the bead temporarily.
I tell you, I got one problem with this answer, guys.
Which answer? We're giving you...
He doesn't drive it.
Your answers. They're too logical. Doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, well, we're turning over a new leaf.
I guess so.
Yeah, we did get some letters from headquarters about not giving any right answers, so we decided to turn over a new leaf and try to give at least a few every week.
Where is headquarters?
Washington, man!
I guess I just need to reserve a spot on the tire pressure line.
But just for the heck of it, you really should check the tire pressure every couple of days, and I'll bet you'll find that it's really going down and you don't notice it.
Oh, you got to keep a log. We expect some kind of written report from you.
Absolutely. I'll mail it in.
All right. See you, Bruce.
Bruce.
Yeah.
This is 30% of your grade.
And you did very well in the class participation portion, too. So yeah. I can expect you to get a solid B this term.
Yeah, oh, that's better than usual. Yeah.
Well, we have to wait and see how you do on the field portion of this research.
My written report, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks, Bruce.
Take care, guys.
Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He was a nice guy.
All right, look, we have to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to answer last week's puzzler.
Yeah, the lottery puzzler.
Very good. You remembered that from last week?
No, I peaked.
Well, you remembered the peak, at least. That's progress, Frank. Anyway, last week's puzzler was, in fact, from my Games of Chance series, and I'll give you the whole story and the answer, and we'll take more of your calls right after this short break.
So stay tuned. Along that river flowing, never knowing where we're going, but where we've been. And the white lines keep on winding, this road it is reminding, we may never feel the same again. Riding around the bend of a winding red dirt trail, the sun it softly sinks below the trees. And that sweet home sense is calling as the nighttime begins falling, wherever I hang my hat off on my. And even though director James Cameron took his sub to the deepest part of the Marianas Trench just so he wouldn't have to hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course the answer to last week's puzzler.
I'm ready.
I doubt that, but here we go anyway. This was from my Games of Chance series, and it came from a listener named Frank DeRisi, and it goes something like this. Lotteries and the people who play them are an interesting study. You know, there are lots of players who are superstitious and won't ever consider playing the number 13. There are others who insist on playing the number 13 all the time. And then there are people who play their birthdays or their kids' birthdays or some of their ex-wives' birthdays. You must do that, right? Some strategists will play only numbers over 31, hoping to share with as few others as possible if and when they win, right? Because there's no birthdays beyond the 31st of the month.
Yeah.
Some people play every week. And in fact, most lottery players play every week. And my friend Giovanni is no exception.
Hmm.
Now, Giovanni lives in Italy, and he plays the lotto every week, like I said. And the lotto in Italy is similar to any other. There are 60 numbers to choose from, and you have to pick 5 to win. 5 out of 60. Lousy odds, but hey, tough, right?
Right.
Anyway, I'm out one day with Giovanni driving around in his car, and we're listening to his favorite radio station, mostly because he likes the music, but also because the station always broadcasts the winning numbers. Not live from lottery headquarters or anything like that, but whenever they have a minute or two, you know, between songs.
Or when they remember.
That's right. Anyway, here we are driving along, and the announcer begins to read the winning numbers. After the first winning number is announced, Giovanni begins screaming, blowing his horn, and shouting out, "Ho vinto! Ho vinto! I won! I won!" And he's weaving in and out of traffic.
Yeah, that sounds like Italy.
It does. But here's the thing. He hadn't even heard the other 4 numbers yet, and he was convinced that he won. The question is, how does he know that he won after hearing just 1 number?
Mmm.
What number could he possibly have heard?
2.
Number 2, eh?
I just made that up.
I know, because it's wrong.
Sorry.
Well, I think I gave enough hints, but maybe I didn't. And the fact that the numbers weren't coming from lottery headquarters meant that they weren't being shouted out as they were being pulled out of the machine, like 22, 11, 41. The station that was reading them in sequential order, not the order they were pulled, but rather in order. So the first number he heard was 56. He played 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60. Those were his five numbers. As soon as he heard 56, he knew he'd won because the other numbers had to be 57, 58, 59, and 60, right?
Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh? So do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. The winner this week is Allison Haskins from Oxford, Ohio. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Allison gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, where she can get her mom a copy of our Mothers and Cars CD collection called Maternal Combustion. Actually, a gift like this might be better for your mother-in-law. You know, nothing says, I'm not really that fond of you, like a Car Talk CD, don't you think?
Well, that's true. Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. But in the meantime, if you have questions about your car, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michal, and I'm calling from Berkeley, California.
Ah, what's your first name again?
Michal, like Taj Mahal.
Got it.
Really? What kind of name is that?
It's actually a biblical name.
Yes.
Michal was married to David in the Bible before he met Bathsheba.
Ah.
Oh.
So she was the wronged woman.
Oh, the poor thing.
Michal was the wronged woman.
She was.
How are you making out?
And why did your mother want to name you after a wronged
woman? It's a long story.
We don't want to know it.
No, we might want to know it, but it is interesting that your mother should have named you Michal.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a story for another day.
Yeah, that's like another show.
All right. What's going on?
Well, my problem is a disagreement that I'm having with my partner about his driving.
Uh-huh.
And you have to understand the context of this. First of all, he's from New York, and he's a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Right away, we're in your camp.
Okay, good. See, yeah. I knew
so he's
got to
go a long way. But yeah. There's always hope. Let's hear the story.
So here's the deal that we're having. The disagreement we're having is with the proper use of turn signals. When we're on a surface street and he's driving, doesn't matter if he's driving his car or my car, you know, either one, and we're going down the street and he wants to change lanes, he always uses his turn signal to indicate he's going to change lanes, so which is great, right? That's
yes.
What you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Yes.
But when we're on a freeway going like 80 miles an hour or there's like kind of a traffic jam and he's zipping in and out of lanes to try to get in the best lane,
then he doesn't
never
use it.
Never, ever uses it.
Well, you know why? He's too busy.
Well, his explanation is that, you know, he's a great driver, and he's never had an accident, and because I watch all around me all the time, I don't have to use signals. And I'm like, you're nuts. You're going 80 miles an hour. Are you crazy? And I just figured this must be a guy thing that maybe you guys can help me figure out, because I just do not get this.
I don't have directional signals on my car.
And he never drives fast enough to change lanes. He's always in the right lane. Or at more appropriately, the breakdown lane. When you're in the breakdown lane, you ain't cutting anyone off. I think he doesn't want to tip anyone off that he's changing lanes.
Well, that's what I asked him. I said, is this like, are you worried people are going to sneak up on you or try to cut you off? And he's like, no, I just can always tell when I can switch lanes and I don't have to. But I'm thinking, don't you want to tell the people around you what you're doing?
Well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that when he's doing what he's doing in the second case, zapping in and out,
right.
He doesn't have time to put on the blinkers.
Right. He's just trying to get over.
Right. You know, as a city boy, he is not accustomed to driving 80 miles an hour on the highway. If he's a New York City guy.
Well, actually, he's not from New York City. He's from Spring Valley. So he grew up in the country with a town of 2,000. So maybe that, I never thought about that, but maybe that's part of it. He grew up on country roads.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think when he got to New York, everything changed.
Maybe. But I have a feeling that he's just, I mean, we could look at the dark side of it and say, well, he doesn't, you know, he's trying to just get a competitive edge on everybody. But I don't think so.
I don't think so
either.
I
think he's just so absorbed and so taken with the whole idea of driving 80 miles an hour on the California freeways. He hasn't got time to process cutting people off and using the turn signal at the same time.
Yeah, he's got too much to do.
But, like, don't you think that's dangerous? Like, shouldn't
it's dangerous.
Oh, good. I can tell them that.
Oh, no, and it's also a summonsable offense.
Right.
So he could get a ticket.
Well, the other thing is that just because he's watching them doesn't mean that he knows what's in their mind, right? They could be doing the same crazy thing he is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, right, and the signal is designed to alert other drivers that you're doing something that may or may not be crazy, but you are intending upon changing lanes.
That's what I keep telling him. So now I can tell him that you guys agree?
And he's doing
something that he should be using the blinkers.
He's endangering everybody by not using the signals. He may be endangering people by what he's doing in general, but he's further endangering everybody by not using the signal, because at least he will be alerting people that there's a wacko that's going to do something. Oh, you know, I know what he's doing. He just doesn't want to draw attention to himself.
No, I don't think he wants to let anybody know what he's doing so he can sneak into
That's exactly what he's doing. He doesn't want anyone to know what he's up to, and he just kind of slithers in and out.
Right.
I think we have forgotten that he's a lawyer. He is driving, doing the same techniques he would use in court.
Michal, what?
Never let them know where you're going.
What kind of lawyering does he do?
He does transactional law, mergers and acquisitions, contracts, negotiations.
Yeah.
What year BMW does he have?
Well, he actually doesn't. He has like a banged up CRV, and my car, of course, is scratchless because I don't do this kind of crazy stuff. Now, he didn't bang it up by doing that. He banged up by running into a tree, backing up into a tree. So it wasn't. But he does. I mean, this is only one of the few crazy things that he does when he drives. He also doesn't like stop until he's like three feet, behind the other car.
Oh yeah, no, he's nuts.
Well, I think you are correct in advising him to use the directional signals.
But how am I going to convince him? He just ignores me. Can I,
We have to talk to him.
Well, I'll have to. So if he doesn't listen to me, I'll call you back.
Absolutely.
Call back on Tom's private number. I'll give you his number off the air. You can call him. We'll talk privately.
Okay, that'd be great.
We'll shape him up.
Well, thank you for validating me, because I've been arguing with him for 5 years over this.
No, I can tell this is a considerable source of anguish.
I feel like I have to get a blindfold every time I get in the car.
Oh, no, you're going to have a heart attack driving with this guy. You are a safe driver, and he is a nut job.
Well, there is one tiny little kind of point in his favor, is that he's never had an accident, and I have, but it wasn't my fault.
Oh, no, our sister's never had an accident, but she sure has caused a lot of them. He may be in that category.
Okay, that's good to know.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yes.
I've been waiting a decade to have a car problem worthy of your time and expertise.
Well, I hope it's a good one.
Yeah.
It is a good one, but now that I've gotten it, and wanted to tell all of my friends I'm going to be on Car Talk, I cannot identify myself with my real name or my location.
Oh, nobody else does either.
Oh, okay.
You'd be a fool to use your real name.
Okay, because I'm in a real messy divorce, and I don't want their lawyers to find out what kind of car this is.
No.
They'll probably be able to
figure
out. Okay,
so what name would you like to use? And think about that, too, because I'm sure you have.
I thought about it. When I was a kid, my friends called me
James. Be careful now. Your ex-wife may know what your friends called you when you were a kid.
That's okay, as long as they can't prove who this was.
Okay. You do whatever you want, Phil.
All right.
Right. Jinx.
Jinx. Okay. And where would you like to be from, Jinx?
I'm from the Boston area. I'm from a town that is known for the shot heard round the world.
Oh, cool. Tupelo, Mississippi.
Right. The backfire.
Okay. I like Tupelo.
We're going to put Tupelo in there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And this car.
What kind of BMW is it?
It's close. This car is like a Volkswagen on steroids. It begins with a P and ends with an E, and the American pronunciation is one syllable. The German is two.
Yes.
And the model number can often be seen on police cars as an emergency number.
Yes. Okay. We're with you now. Very good. Okay. You're completely anonymous here.
Yeah.
No one knows anything about anything.
Okay.
And what year is this 9/11?
It's 1972.
Vintage.
No.
Probably all restored in primo condition, worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So anyway, Jinx, what's your problem?
I was driving along on a very romantic moonlit night in Vermont, like the song,
yeah.
Moonlight in Vermont, along Route 89, just north of the capital, Montpelier.
Pennies in a stream, fallen leaves of sycamore. I'm sorry.
Very good. And I also was with a lady friend, and this lady friend and I just thought, wow, you could probably see the moon and the stars a whole lot better if I turn the headlights out.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful night. So I turned the headlights out for a moment. I was traveling about 60 miles an hour, and immediately the car filled with this acrid smoke that smelled of wires melting.
Oh.
And smoke coming out of the vents and around the gauges. So so much for a romantic evening. We're rolling down windows, opening the sunroof, and smoke's billowing out. And when I pulled the light switch back on, it stopped. I mean, it wasn't burning anymore.
Wow. Cool.
I had recently sent the speedometer out to get recalibrated, and then I marked all the wires with little pieces of tape, and I took it out and then put it back in.
Well, you've since then turned off the headlights.
Yeah, I don't try to drive it at night. The car's also for sale. So, but anyway, the point is, it only happens when the car is running, and I turn, and the headlights are on. I can turn the headlights on, but if I turn the headlights off, especially if the brights were on, while the car is running,
yeah,
smoke starts to come out.
Oh man, well. Jeez. And this didn't happen before you messed around under there with the speedometer.
With the speedometer, right.
Well, it's clear that you did something.
Some kind of relay or something, yeah. You know, and yeah.
It's clear that God is getting back at you for being such a lousy husband.
She's leaving me. I'm not leaving her.
Oh, then it's not God.
Yeah. It's the Porsche God. Oops.
It's the Porsche. Yeah.
I said the word.
This is a very unusual thing. Because if you stop current from flowing, why should fires start? And that's what's going on. I mean,
well, you never stop current from flowing to the switch. I mean, that's the way
problem.
The switch works. There's current coming to it, and then when you turn the headlights on, you energize a relay and you send
light, current to the lights.
Like the lights.
But when I pulled the speedometer out,
yeah,
the wires are all melting.
Uh huh.
And I know to rewire an entire car is going to be very expensive. So it's running just fine now. I just can't.
You just want to sell it during the day.
Well,
that's right. Well, the thing is that I went out and immediately brought a fire extinguisher because
good idea.
The gas intake is very close to where these wires are right behind the dash. You know?
Yeah, it sure is.
I wouldn't mess with it if I were you. Because you've already screwed it up once, and I would take it somewhere and have someone look. I mean, someone's going to have to crawl under there.
Yeah, you've done one of two things, I think. Either you've pinched a wire or you've forgotten to hook up a ground wire someplace.
Yes.
You're forcing a circuit to find a ground that doesn't want to be ground.
Mm, but only when I'm turning off the lights?
Well, what's happening is that when he turns the lights off, there's a relay that's not kicking out, and somehow it's feeding. But I've seen very strange things happen when wires that aren't supposed to be grounded get grounded, and when ground wires that are supposed to be hooked up to ground are not hooked up to ground.
Right.
Well, yeah. The good thing about this is it will be easy for the person who works on it to diagnose it because it's easily reproduced.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the way we produce. That's the way we solve these problems. We look for the smoke.
Even though the smoke is like right next to the gas tank.
That's right.
They'll do it outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't mess with it. Take it to an electrical specialist somewhere down there in Tupelo where you live.
Yeah. And as your name implies, you shouldn't be working on this, Jinx. Good luck.
That's it.
Good luck, Jinx.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Take care.
All right, look, we have to take a little break, don't we?
Sure, sure.
Actually, while we're taking the break, there's a guy here from the FCC for you.
The FCC? He wants to see me? Did you rat me out, you dirty, no-good, rotten brother?
No, I didn't.
Is someone stomping on my First Amendment rights here? Am I expected to bow down and stifle myself just because the Federal Communications Commission comes a-knocking?
Who said anything about the Federal Communications Commission? The guy who's waiting for you is from Framingham Carpet Cleaners.
All right, never mind.
Anyway, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
Me and friend, talk.
And even though tattoo parlors report a steep drop in sales of I Heart NPR tattoos, whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Now,
you got one?
I have a vague recollection that many years ago I used this Puzzler, but...
So what?
First of all, I can't really remember.
So it doesn't matter.
Well, so I thought, what the heck?
Yeah.
An off-duty policeman.
I remember it. No, I don't.
An off-duty policeman is working as a night watchman in an office building.
I remember it.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about it. And he's doing his rounds, and he comes to a closed door, and behind the door he hears voices. He hears people talking, and an argument seems to be taking place, raised voices, and he hears one of them say, "No, Frank, no, don't do it. You'll regret it." Bang, bang, bang. He bursts through the door. What does he see? A dead man on the floor.
And the proverbial.
And the proverbial what?
Smoking gun.
And in the room are three living people. A minister.
They're all named Frank.
A doctor and a plumber. He walks over to the minister and says, "You're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent and I don't remember anything else." How does he know that it was the minister that pulled the trigger?
I like the name. It was a convention. And
convention
here
said, "Hi, my name is Frank, Frank. And I'm armed.
And I'm the guy who just shot."
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or a piece of ripe fruit and mail your correspondence to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Oh,
Cambridge!
I'm sorry. Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your ripe fruit to us from cartalk.com if you'd like to call us about anything. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lisa from Seattle.
Hi, Lisa. What's up?
I'm calling about my 2000 Passat / spaceship.
Space?
When you start the Passat, it sounds like a spaceship. Or a UFO more.
Really?
It's like,
Oh, I like it. It's got that little tremolo at the end.
Yes, yeah, and...
Can you do it again? Do it again. You did it so well.
Okay.
Oh, so it sounds like...
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
It stops when you start to drive the car.
Oh, once you get moving, it stops.
Yes,
but... will it continue if you let the car just run in park? I'm assuming it's an automatic?
Yes, it is.
Okay, if you stay in park and the engine is running, will it make that woo sound the whole time, or is it short-lived?
It might last a little while, but it won't keep going all day.
What's the longest it's lasted?
Oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes maybe.
Really?
You've actually sat in the car and revved it up and sat there for 5 minutes?
We're trying to figure out what's wrong with this car.
Of course.
So while this was happening, did anyone try to drain your blood? Because that's what aliens would do if they had you, right? Oh. They would take you into their chambers. So maybe when this is happening, you're being teleported.
Whoa.
So it makes this woo 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 woo.
That sounds more like the Three Stooges.
I know. I realized that about midway through it. You do it. You do it, Lisa. Let's hear you do it. All right, I like
it. But as you're driving, it doesn't do this.
The spaceship noise does stop. However, when you stop, like at a stoplight, for example, then you're experiencing a surging. It's not really violent, but it's definitely surging. Like,
That's a vital piece of information.
That's good.
Yes, and so I'm putting it in neutral to try to subside that, and it works somewhat. When the car's in neutral, it's not convulsing as much.
Does it seem to run, other than these two minor little defects, and they are minor, I believe, does it seem to run well?
Yes.
And
it's smooth when it starts off and everything?
And at 30 miles an hour and speeds beyond that, you have no sounds and no sense that there's anything there's no imminent disaster looming.
No.
See how most people are just unaware that the end is a... Okay, so you haven't had anyone look at this thing, obviously.
Yeah, we have, actually. We took it to a few people, two mechanics, and they both saw it was probably the secondary air pump. So we had that replaced, but it is still blasting off.
Yeah, I'd rather think it's a vacuum leak.
Oh,
and
okay.
A vacuum leak, and it could be any place. It could be in the intake manifold. It could be in one of the many hoses that run to the intake manifold that supply vacuum to various devices, like, the, for example, the power brake booster. And if there is a vacuum leak, it'll at one time create this noise, and it's also causing the surging.
Okay.
Because the computer's getting confused because air is coming in from someplace where it shouldn't be. It's getting into the cylinders, and it's screwing up everything. And it's changing the fuel-air ratio, and as such, it's causing the engine to go up, down, up, down, up, down, because sometimes it's getting too little air, and sometimes it's getting too much air, and the idle speed surges. And you can ameliorate that situation by putting it in park or neutral, because when you do that, it's less likely to surge as much because you've raised the engine RPM.
But you've taken it to people, and they've listened to it, and they did not suggest it was a vacuum leak, huh?
They were both telling us secondary air pumps, so we were optimistically believing them, and we had it replaced.
So how much did that cost?
Oh, probably about $600.
Yeah, and when it didn't fix it, what did you do?
We thought, what now? Maybe a little car talk in our lives.
Oh, really? Jeez. You know, you guys, I think you're not drinking enough coffee out in Seattle. Our customers would have been back like
plenty of it.
They would, before they got to the end of the street.
Yeah,
they would have slammed the thing in reverse. They would have come back and they would have said, $600 and the noise is still there. Are you guys crazy?
Yeah.
So you have to, at the very least, you have to do that. If nothing else, these guys need feedback. They need to know, for the good of humanity, Lisa, that they made a mistake, because they're going to make that same mistake on the next 2,000 Passat that comes in. Thinking, we fixed that Lisa's car. We didn't think that was it, but we put it in, and that did it.
Yeah, see, the people in Seattle are more refined.
Refined and dignified.
Yeah.
And
the people in Cambridge, a bunch of animals.
Yeah. No. So I think at the very least, you have to go back there to tell them they didn't fix it. And they'll probably...
And suggest to them that it might be a vacuum leak.
And suggest to them that they do it for free.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Give a very large boyfriend that you could bring along just in case. I mean,
that would be even
never hurts, you know.
I'm married, actually.
Then bring your boyfriend. Anyway, Lisa, good luck. I'm sure these guys will fix it for you. They'll be embarrassed that they misdiagnosed it and charged you $600.
Okay.
Let us know your make out.
All right, thanks for everything.
Right, bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sam calling from North Andover, Massachusetts.
Hey, Sam, what's going on?
North Andover.
I drive a 98 Toyota Avalon.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I think like once a week, maybe twice a week, I'll get in the car and I'll start to roll forward and I hear like a thud, thud, thud from like the back left tire. And it sounds like I have a flat tire.
But you actually ran over three cats.
Yeah. And then as I start to speed up, the car starts to vibrate pretty violently, like side to side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And it gets worse as I speed up. And then, so usually, I don't know, at this point I'm kind of afraid the car's going to fall apart. So I slow down, and then if I park the car and wait like 3 or 4 hours, usually I can get back in and start going again. And
so you're late for work every day. You show up at like noon, right?
School, actually.
School.
No, like if I drive it like 20 miles an hour, it's not so bad that I'm like afraid that the car's not going to, you know.
Yeah, how long has it been like this?
A couple months.
Couple of months?
Yeah, and I guess I've just been kind of lazy about taking it in.
Oh,
and also,
yeah.
Every time we think about taking it in, it just starts
behaving.
Like, not happen.
Yeah, it's like looking at that thing that's growing on your forehead and saying, well, you know, it really hasn't grown much in the last couple of days. Maybe I'll forget about it. Well, you know, I mean, the thing that immediately comes to mind is that you have a stuck brake, and that would explain all the symptoms you have.
Yeah.
You know, and it's coming from the left rear wheel.
Yeah.
And it obviously stops immediately upon your stopping, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like what it is. I mean, you really should take it someplace, because what's going to happen eventually is it's going to get worse, and the brake fluid is going to boil, because you're going to be riding around with the brake on. You are riding around with the brake on all the time. And the brake fluid is going to get overheated because the brakes are going to overheat. When the brake fluid boils, you're going to lose your brakes.
That wouldn't be good.
That would not be good. Right.
No. You didn't buy this car.
It was my dad's car, and then I got it a year ago.
Well, how'd you know he didn't buy it?
Because I can just tell by the youthful sound of Sam's voice that he would not be the kind of person to buy an Avalon.
Oh, I see.
It's a nice car, though. I kind of like it.
It is a nice car, yeah.
Yeah, be careful, though. It's a geezer car. Things will happen to you when you drive this. You start wearing your pants up high, you start wearing white shoes, white belts, and it's a slippery slope, Sam. So be careful. But take it in someplace, and you know what to do if you have to? Leave it overnight.
Okay.
And have them drive it, and they'll figure it out in 2 minutes.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
But don't let it continue anymore, because it's dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I would try to address it before, like, Halloween.
I'll see if I can get around to it.
Okay. Good luck.
Thanks.
See you later,
much.
Steve. Yeah, do it before you crash.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Cindy in San Diego.
Hi, Cindy in San Diego.
Cindy San Diego.
It's actually Cynthia, but that just seems a bit much. So.
Cynthia is actually a beautiful name.
Do you think so?
Yes. A nice name. What does Cynthia mean? Does it have a meaning?
Means moon goddess.
Well, I thought Celine was the moon goddess.
No. Celine was that waitress that you used to own. That restaurant we went to all the time. Remember?
I shouldn't have brought that up.
No. Yeah. You said she was a goddess.
I did. I know.
Cynthia is so much prettier than Cindy.
Okay, I'm changing it.
There you go.
Yeah, Cynthia.
This is Cynthia from San Diego.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hello.
Snob, you must be. I'm sorry. So, Cynthia, what's up?
Okay. Well, I'm an artist. I'm a graphic designer.
Oh.
I work very late at night usually when I'm painting, and I was up late night working one evening, and suddenly the light bulb went off in my head that said, oh, that's right, I have to put oil in my car. I have a 535i, an 88 535i.
Oh, art's been very, very good to Cynthia.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I love the car.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a great car.
So the light bulb goes off. It's the middle of the night. You're painting away, and you say, I got to put oil in the Bimmer.
Right. So I had gone earlier to the store and purchased my monthly supply of Maalox.
Yeah.
And a quart of Castrol 2050.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, don't tell me you put the Maalox in the engine.
I had poured about a quarter of it in there, and I looked at the thing and I went, oh my God, it's Maalox.
You really did put the Maalox in the engine.
Gee, now this has interesting possible consequences.
I'm thinking that I have created the miracle cure for engines.
You may have.
And this could last. I mean, this engine can just go on forever. I mean,
well, you may have discovered the secret ingredient in STP.
Exactly.
How would
exactly.
we know?
Exactly.
Just tell me, you didn't also go upstairs and take a swig of the Castrol?
No.
No.
I then add the quart of motor oil.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
Oh, sure, why not? You didn't add very much Maalox. You put a couple of spoonsful in, right?
Oh, I put about maybe a quarter cup.
A quarter of a cup?
Quarter of a cup.
Yeah, forget it.
So I put more oil in it, and then I think I put too much oil in it because the dipstick is reading far over.
Well, if it's reading far over...
I was just hoping that I could drive it until it used up all that oil.
Well, better than that, I think. I mean, because we don't know what the Maalox is going to do, I think you might want to change it for two reasons. You know, it's not good to have the thing overfilled because the oil will foam, and that's potentially more detrimental than the Maalox.
But the Maalox may also help it to foam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah.
And that would be not so good.
Well, when I've checked the dipstick and, you know, like taken off the thing for the oil,
yeah.
I don't see any evidence of
Maalox. Oh, no, it consumed that Maalox.
It did.
Oh, yeah, that Maalox is gone.
I'm not in terrible
No,
trouble.
The chalk just got, the chalk got,
it just got coated on all the cylinder
Oh, no,
walls.
Yeah.
I swear, this car is going to go for 500,000
miles. Well, I'll tell you, it would be interesting. Now, obviously, this thing uses some oil. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been.
Just a little tiny bit. You know, the 535 is very sensitive, and if it's like down a teaspoonful of any fluid, a light comes on, it says check, warning, it's got computers all over the
place. How often do you have to add a quart of oil?
Oh, maybe every 1,000 miles.
Well, I just as a matter of safety, I would have the oil and filter changed.
Okay.
But it'll be interesting to see if your oil consumption changes dramatically one way or the other due to this 1 week or so of the Maalox treatment. And you, I'm telling you, you may have discovered something.
I may have solved my oil consumption
or
problem.
You may have wrecked the engine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going with number two.
Yeah. And then I'm talking very expensive.
Yeah, no, I rather doubt you did any damage to the engine.
Nah.
You'd be amazed.
It runs just fine.
You'd be amazed what happens to engines that nobody ever tells us.
Yeah, no, they're fine. It's fine.
See you, Cynthia.
Bye-bye.
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 Thanks. Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
I have. I knew I was doing something wrong.
You should try do a little less listening next time, and we're talking. It goes by faster. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Knicks, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Brooklyn Heights Bagel Bites, Matzah by Strites, Diet Sprites, Turkish Delights, and Mega Vites, Ladies Nights Food Fights, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our day-old seafood chef is Amelia Luce. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hoyts. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the tenure-tracked construction workers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Taproot Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Amen. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1218, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at CarTalk.com.
Also this week at CarTalk.com, the secrets of selling cars.
Yeah, my brother's secret was always to wear a mask. But we're talking about professionals here. What do they do to get you to buy the car that they want to sell to you?
Other than chaining you to the floor?
Well, other than that, our secret undercover sales guy, who we call Deep Plaid, reveal some of the tricks of the trade. Find out what they are over at CarTalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though endangered species say, you know, on second thought, take me off that protected list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.